shining through the days. But in the night, I can hardly see alone.
Oh, in the night, I can hardly see alone.
Canada, I am your queen. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Splendid.
This is Lonnie Bristle. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend the hour with us. We're very, very glad to have you. It is a busy week. It is a fashionable week. We just came from Vancouver's Fashion Week, which I found out is the second largest fashion week in all of North America. It's the largest one after New York, which is pretty cool that we have it in our own city. And with fashion, how you feel, self-esteem, feeling really good about yourself, all those things kind of tie in together, because if you feel good, you can conquer the world. You can do all sorts of wonderful things. And I've got a very special guest who I've had on the show before, back in the studio, actually first time in the studio, because last time you were a first time caller, and Now you're a first time visit to the studio, which is awesome.
Yes, I got lost the first time in the studio, so I came in via phone.
And it's good to have you actually physically in the studio, which is wonderful. And if you haven't recognized her voice yet, you just heard a little bit of a snippet of it. She is the lovely, the sexy, the wonderfully talented Brandi Lifeso, who is also an amazing makeup artist. But last time I had her on the show, she was just doing her launch of Karma Face, which is this amazing Canadian cosmetic line that she founded. And what's even cooler about it is it's a give back project. So not only is it an amazing, wonderful makeup line that makes everybody look amazing, but as well as that, it is also really great because for each product, a dollar goes to the YWCA Canada as well.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who aren't familiar with the Karma Face and why you started it, did you want to just recap in terms of as to why you started? Because I think it's super cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started Karma Face because I was in a shelter as a child, and I just had this benevolence to want to give back. And I makeup and fashion was what I knew because I worked as an international model manager as well and went to school for makeup and went to school for a short period, actually. And it just was something that was came natural to me. So I did quite a bit of makeup, and the crazy idea came to me to create a cosmetic line so that I could create a sustainable way to create these funds for different shelters. And then that was a four-year journey of creating the line. And amongst those 4 years, my life took a turn and a lot of different things happened, and a lot of wonderful things happened and a lot of not so wonderful things happened. So it gave me some fire under my butt and a new reason to launch the line. So I launched it then as a business venture. And I'm partnered with YWCA Canada, who's an amazing organization, and that was where Karma Face came from.
And I think it's amazing. And so it's been almost a year, which is fantastic. You're in 8 stores, and I think it's so cool that you're mentioning in Italy, which I think is wonderful. So not just in Canada. But
yeah, we recently had some online orders from Italy, which blew my mind. We do quite a few giveaways with different organizations and such that, just collaborative efforts. And we did one with Doctors Wives Living, which is a really fantastic blog. And the winner was from Italy, which I was really surprised by, and then that was shared amongst them, and we've actually had a couple orders from Italy, so that was exciting.
That is really exciting. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it really goes to show, in terms of, for those of you out there who may have a company, that contests do bring in business sometimes, so I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's actually been our main source. A startup business, there's not tons of budget for advertisement and such, so our collaborative efforts with different local and international other organizations and companies and blogs and such have really given us a lot of support, so yeah.
Oh, I think it's super cool. And I love the fact, because last year, I think when I had you on, it was when you were doing the fundraiser for the YWCA, which I believe you raised about $3,000, which is...
Under. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, because especially doing an event, because sometimes with events, it's harder to raise money. So I give you full kudos that you raised money.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I just love the fact, because people may be listening and wondering, what does this have to do with dating? What does this have to do with sex? And it does, actually, because of the fact where those monies have gone in terms of support for women who are leaving for domestic violence situations, as well just to women who are requiring safety. And sometimes in terms of sex and sexuality, it's really important, especially when somebody is trying to exit so they can find their happily ever after. It's really important to have some tools. And in our pre-show chat, we're chatting about just some of the things that, for women who have experienced domestic violence, some of the steps, like, for example, one of the big ones is having somebody who is a friend, like in terms of when you're doing your exit planning, to make sure if something gets really bad, that whether or not it's a code word or a... you know, just certain really simple things that you can, so then that person knows when they hear whether or not they need to call 911 or you just need to talk, etc. Yeah. And how basically on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad the situation is.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, it's interesting too that there's definitely there's definitely different scales as to sometimes you just do need to talk, or sometimes you are really scared, or sometimes you feel like things might escalate if you don't get help. So there's different tools that you can use, and YWCA Canada is actually an amazing organization that is quite aware of what these women need.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the creations that they've done actually is the Safety Siren app, which is for BlackBerry and iPhones and any type of model of phone that you have, mm-hmm. that you can download from YWCA Canada, that is a safety siren that allows you to cover your tracks, which is something that's really important in a domestic violence situation, because that can actually escalate things if they know that you are reaching out for help or that you have a support system. That definitely can make the situation worse for you. So this app allows you to be able to reach out for help in a safe way.
And I think that's really key, being able to reach for help in a safe way. With that, give me an example of how it works.
So you download the app from your app store. And, oh no, Caroline, don't start laughing.
It's not a laughing matter.
No,
it's a really beautiful thing.
It's a really serious matter.
It is.
So you download the app. And then what you do is you set it up with a safety person. So whether that be your mom, a friend, or somebody that you trust that's that knows of the situation, whatever is going on, and knows about it enough to know what the measures are to take in terms of when you do say, I just need to talk, that you've already had a discussion with them that there's a safe place that you can go to talk, or that you can get someplace to be able to safely talk on the phone, or whichever it is. So you can, you know, have a safety siren system that will allow them to let them know that you're in that kind of condition, or also let them know that you're in a space that's much drastic than that, where you are fearful of your life, or whichever this, or feel for of injury or anything like that. And it will let them know to call 911 and let them know of your location right away.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot of different features within the app, and YWCA Canada did a really great job with it. Yeah.
It sounds fantastic. It's funny because myself and one of the other programmers, Gary, at the station, both of us came up with the same reaction, which immediately was, that would be so great for online dating as well, because just in terms of safety, and it's interesting to think about in terms of violence against women, 1 out of 6 women around the world, according to Amnesty International, have experienced physical or sexual violence before the age of 18. 1 out of 6 men have as well. And it's kind of wild, because I think sometimes we think relationships is going to be happily ever after, and it's not always happily ever after. And with that, sometimes with it, there's the domestic violence, but there's also the part at the very beginning of relationships as well, where when you go out with somebody the first time, and there's some standards things, some great stuff out there, like on Match.com, etc. Like, for example, letting somebody know where you're going, from there, making sure that if they need to call during the date, and I'm going to go back to date rescue 911, where it's just like,
go to the bathroom.
Brandy, did you leave the keys at work? do you need me to come and help lock up? I guess I better get going right now. I'm sorry, sir. I have to go. So, I mean, there's that, where you can get out of a date that's uncomfortable if you don't want to be totally honest and just say, look, this isn't working, which is why you're supposed to make sure your first date is very short. It's in a safe public space. Making sure in terms of your profile pictures, if you are doing online dating, that you don't have a picture of your car, which may have your license plate in it, or a house address, just in terms of a way to identify where you are, just to make sure you've got the safety features.
And even going back to domestic violence as well, it's really important to make sure that you don't do those in your pictures and your online profile whatsoever as well. Which actually, I've been a little bit careless lately, but with a friend, we were making plans to go meet someplace for coffee online, and it's natural. People do that on Facebook, and the messages
and
back and forth, and Twitter. But it's something that you should really be cautious of. In, like you said, the license plate is a really good one, and things like that, because, anybody who's been in a domestic violence situation can vouch to know that you are constantly watched and you're constantly in those situations, and that person is obsessed with that situation, and if you're then feeding the obsession to be able to easily make you accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be really careful of your online profile for sure. In many different measures, because it does make you incredibly accessible with the internet today.
It really does, and that's a really good point with Facebook and Twitter. Sometimes one of the questions I get asked if people break up is, should I keep my ex on Facebook? My personal, I think it depends on the situation, but I think it's better for healing for both people until mm-hmm. they're ready to hit the friend, we're just friends, mm-hmm. and I still love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore.
Yeah.
On personal note, I think it's best just to cut nice ties, nice and clean, because it's too easy to become obsessed. And let's face it, most of us are obsessed with Facebook.
Oh,
we're obsessed
yeah.
with Twitter.
It's so accessible now.
It
I mean,
is.
It's on your phone, it's on your iPad, it's on your computer.
And it's a great way to communicate with
yeah.
people. I love it. I'm a huge social media freak. But with that, it...
I'm going to tweet about this right after, by the way.
Yeah.
So. And Facebook, maybe some Instagram.
I'll watch my. But it's true though, and that's a really valid point in terms of if it's stalker, being really cognizant of that, whether you're leaving in a relationship, because it's more courteous to an ex, and especially in this day and age where we really are reality internet stars in our own strange ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because depending on what our privacy settings are, et cetera, and who we allow to see what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets more and more challenging with that. So just making sure with the safety. But I thought that YWCA button would mm-hmm. be a really, really wonderful thing for a date if somebody starts feeling uncomfortable. Even, say, hitting that button, especially if you're starting to feel funny.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has, you know, with something like GHB, the date rape drugs, etc., mm-hmm. being able to, if it's possible. And it's not always possible, but mm-hmm. at least it gives you more options.
Absolutely.
It makes life simpler. Yeah, as long as you can remember your code on your phone so you can get into it, it would be great.
Exactly. Yeah, no, they've done an amazing job with the safety siren. And
mm-hmm.
and even thinking of other uses for it, too, if, you know, your children or anything like that, I think that it's just a great app that you should have downloaded beside your Twitter and your Facebook app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I think that's really, really key. In terms of before we had the app, I know we touched on it a bit, like in terms of, like, I want to say on a scale of 1 to 10, for a 10 being like it's escalated, it's really, really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
1 being you can feel the tension start to go where the honeymoon period's not quite
mm-hmm.
good anymore. And I always think of it as almost the honeymoon. There's the tension and then there's the explosion. And it kind of goes in this lovely cycle where it's like, and especially that tension, sometimes that's almost the worst part where it's
mm-hmm.
almost, okay, it's done. And it's just gonna revert back because the remorse, etc.
Yeah.
But I think it's all ugly, and especially even after a while, the honeymoon period's not even that sweet anymore because it's like, God, how long is this gonna go on? When's it gonna end? And then those horrible questions.
You
in terms
have
of that
anxiety,
cycle.
because you know that you know what's coming, so you have the anxiety of nothing's too sweet anymore because you know that it's being followed by something that's quite bitter. So, we were talking about this in our pre-show chat as well about some research that's being done about it and how you can actually correlate relationships in that kind of matter to an addiction, whether it be an addiction to drugs or whichever, that you are somewhat addicted to that up level.
Mm-hmm.
And although it's followed by anxiety, just kind of like a drug, that you know that things are up and down and upside down and all
mm-hmm.
over the place. And so you're addicted to when the next high is going to come because you do see love in the matter, and you do you're empathetic to the situation as well, and it's difficult to leave it when you're like, oh well, you know, things will get better, but things get worse. So and sometimes things do get better because you don't want to like pre-call and make huge judgments on a situation that you think I mean, if you ever have any questions that you think that it might be abusive or getting to that point at any matter, then, I mean, if that's even a question, it's just not the right situation for you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's definitely ups and downs and can be correlated to kind of like a drug addiction.
Mm-hmm. And there's some great stuff on campus if anybody needs resources in regards to right at UBC as well. There's the Sexual Assault Center, but as well as that, there's some other resources on campus through AMS, which
awesome.
Is fantastic. And if you're not on campus, there's some wonderful things through Rhodes College downtown, as mm-hmm. well as UBC. They have a resource center in Robson Square as well.
And there's always YWCA as
yes.
well, which is an amazing organization. And actually, the one in Vancouver, I am pretty sure, is the largest run programs and such in Canada as well. They have a really amazing YWCA in Vancouver. So another great resource.
Which is really important, so especially in a city like Van.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in any city, I think all women should be able to access resources. And on that note, I think men should be as well.
People forget that actually 40% of domestic violence occurs to men. And that's a huge number. The 40%, that's not much difference than what is occurring to women as well.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's a shameful thing also for a man that it's difficult to talk about, because you do feel like, I mean, when people do talk about it, they mostly talk about it in regards to domestic violence happening to women. So I'm not extremely aware of the resources for men, are you?
There are some things. The Tri-City Resource Center has been really great, where they've actually changed their name. They used to be the Tri-City Women's Resource Center and shifted it just to make sure that there is support for men as well.
Awesome.
For multiple things, from men who have experienced violence as children, men mm-hmm. who are parents as well. And so I imagine that is one of the things that do come up. In the LGBTQ community, there's some wonderful resources as well through Communities, one of my favorite. They've got some wonderful things. And as well, I know that there are other ones as well, just within a different support.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say probably the biggest thing is dealing with the shame, because Margot Donelos, who runs the Amazing Women's Weekends, who is a life coach who we've had on the show before, says that women will go out of their way to avoid feeling fear,
mm-hmm.
whereas men will go out of their way of feeling to avoid feeling shame. And in regards to domestic violence with men, I think just in terms of not being able to fight back, because even though we are trying to live in an equal state where men and women are more balanced, etc., I think there is still a lot of stigma sometimes for men, and
mm-hmm.
whether it be just in their own mind, etc., but with the shame where they feel that they can protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes as human beings, it's not always possible, unfortunately. And with that, having resources where there's the empathy, etc.,
mm-hmm.
and the support system, so whether that be a good friend, whether through a really wonderful organization.
Yeah, the support system, I think, is really the biggest staple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to reach out and create that support system, even if you do have an amazing family and if you do have, you know, amazing resources as
mm-hmm.
well. It's hard to reach out to them and say, I need your help, because you don't want to admit it to yourself. There's also that kind of, you know, maybe things will get better, and I don't want them to have judgment on my partner or whomever it is or whichever. And so, but once you get to the point where you feel ready to create that support system, it's really your key to survival. And it's, and the safety siren, going back to that, is actually a really great way to be able to communicate without communicating,
mm-hmm.
because that's the hardest thing, is communicating when you're in a state like that, because A, you're not in a good mental state, like you just can't be when you're under that kind of life stress, and that also creates more shame, because you're embarrassed that you're not under your best state, and you don't want people to know what's going on, and you don't want all these other things, so you just don't reach out. But then going back to the safety siren, it's just a really good way to be able to communicate without communicating. And even if you just have one person that you know is going to be very understanding, that's a hard thing, is to find somebody that's going to understand, because not everybody has been through the situation to be able to know.
Mm-hmm.
They want to help, and they think that they're helping in the best ways possible, but sometimes it's not the best thing possible, or when you tell somebody what's happening as well, it also is damaging to them because maybe they want to help, but they don't know how to help. And now it creates a complex within themselves. And now mm-hmm. it's a situation for them as well. And it can turn into a more negative thing. And that's something that I'm 100% positive goes through your mind when you're saying, oh, I'm ready to reach out. And you just have to really trust and know somebody who's going to be able to have incredible amounts of understanding.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's huge. BC Women's Hospital for women who are in challenging situations has some fantastic work. There's the Building Bridge Conference, which happens every year as well, which sometimes links the correlation with the mental health, which, of course, the anxiety, etc. In some cases, addiction and the violence and just that the cycle and how it perpetuates and how it's very difficult to break, literally.
Extremely, yeah. And also, I'm not sure what the statistic is on this, but the cycle also as, like, a child in a family where there's domestic violence, I know it's high, but I don't know what the exact number is that you do enter a situation like that as an adult often as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, the cycle is just incredibly hard to break. It's something that you're even unaware of, that is just embedded, that sometimes you end up with a partner that is not who you thought you were, but it's embedded from childhood, that's naturally something that you're attracted to.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. And it's interesting you say that about the attraction. And I think part of the reason why, and this is going to sound weird, and Dr. Harville Hendricks, if you're listening right now and you want to make a comment, that would be great. Or anybody who's familiar with this white work. He's got a theory about the imago technique, which is the fact that we're attracted to people as adults to heal our childhood traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it reflects back. And part of the reason we get into relationships is so each person can heal the other, which is why sometimes, even just for regular dating, I think it's, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I keep dating the same person over and over again. What the heck did I just do?
That's why they say you have, like, a type or whatever.
Yes.
I'm new to the dating world, so now, and I never knew what my type was. So now I'm like, now I'm learning, and I'm a little bit like, really? That's my type? Really? So, yeah, there's, people have their type, I guess. Your natural attraction to a particular person, and perhaps it does have a lot to do with your childhood. I've never really given that too much thought.
There's Dr. Harville Hendricks has done some wonderful work. He's got How to Get Love You Want, Receiving Love, and he's got so many books. He's an amazing, amazing, amazing writer. And just the exercises in there are pretty pragmatic and really good, just in terms of if you are in a relationship and you want to do the healing. So I can see how people would be attracted, especially if this is what somebody knows
mm-hmm.
you're going to be attracted to. But that being said, it was interesting because in our pre-show chat, you told me about a few things that I thought were really cool about some of the research that's being done in Washington State as well about basically domestic violence. And in some ways, it's almost like an addiction, which mm-hmm. I thought was a really interesting thing when we had that conversation. And I'd love for you to share that with our listeners, if that's okay.
Of course, yeah. So I was listening. Forgive me, I can't remember a lot of the names and such. I was on a very long car ride listening to talk radio, and there was a gentleman talking about a doctor who was talking about his research that he was doing in Seattle, Washington, and it was in regards to a no-love drug.
A no-love drug.
That was what they were calling it, was a no-love drug, and that it can, I mean, just like any drug, you could use it for its intended purpose, or you could use it for it, you know, purposes mm-hmm. that it wasn't intended for. But the reason why they were researching this was due to domestic violence. And because they were relating the chemicals that are released in your brain to when you're in a domestic violence situation and your attraction to that person, the same to a cocaine addiction. So they, which was really interesting to me, and I yeah, it was really, they are giving people their no love drug to try to break that chemical cycle so that they are able to then make proper choices and the right choices and relieve some of that anxiety and some of that addiction to be able to then leave the situation and go on to creating that support system and making the measures that they need to do to evacuate that relationship. But I couldn't repeat too much of the conversation because it was a really long drive and I was tired. But it was really interesting. It was a no love drug to try to stop that attraction, which naturally is also the technical words and such that they spoke about of it is the same kind of attraction as cocaine, which was really interesting.
Which makes sense because I've been lucky in my life where I haven't. I'm so boring. I haven't experienced, I haven't dabbled. But with that...
You're so boring. It's a good thing.
I suppose, but it's just one of those things, just in terms of talking about addiction, etc., because I haven't been there, so I can't speak on it as well. But I have watched people I love very dearly go through some not-so-wonderful things. But I imagine with cocaine in particular, where it's just like that beautiful feeling. They always, they talk about it more with heroin, where it's that beautiful rush. And it's always the chasing the dragon after, where each time is never quite as good, where I think there's that beautiful honeymoon period when you fall in love anyway, where it's just like, wow, I want to be with this person 24/7. And it is like a little bit of a drug for the, whether it lasts for 4 months or a year. And then from there, oh my goodness, I actually have to get to know this human being. Is this somebody I even want to be with? Do they align with my value systems? Do I align with their value systems? What do we want out of life? Do we want kids? What do we want?
People change over time.
Yes, they do.
Or they encounter their own difficulties that maybe as a partner, you just were not the right partner to be with them during that time of their difficulties, and unfortunately it then escalates to something that perhaps maybe they never thought they were capable of, but it's just the time of the matter that they fell into these difficulties at this time that you were with them, and you weren't the right person to be equipped to help them, or nor should you have to be the person to help them, but the stars didn't align properly. In fact, they aligned very improperly to an issue, So, it's a situation where whether you lose the honeymoon stage and things are just improper and this is just within their genetic makeup that they think that these behaviors are okay, or whether they really are genuinely a person who has fallen into to a dark place that has escalated to these behaviors that they never thought they were capable of, and who really knows what the answer is to it. But the answer is that it's not a good situation and you need to safety siren yourself out.
Very much. The safety siren is very important, and understanding your boundaries, having healthy relationships with people. Being able to say, okay, that's a deal breaker for me and that's not cool. Yeah. And being able, whatever that deal breaker is, to be able to have those. And having really clear communication is really, really key, regardless, what the reason is for things. Because people do fall down, but actually being able to address, am I reading more into this because of my history and my experience? Am I bringing baggage in? Or is this a legitimate something that's going on, and being able to have those conversations first with yourself, then with your partner. And if it isn't healthy, making sure you have really, you've got that, you can create that support or be able to contact an organization to help you develop an exiting strategy. And if you do have an app, that I think that is a fantastic app. And really, really important, especially in this day and age where it's very easy to track people.
Oh, extremely.
Why not use your phone as a honing device?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cute. I was going to say cool. I don't know what at the same time. That didn't quite come out right. So I'm creating words on air. What can I say? This is spoken word in its finest. So
when you finish with it's really cute, I was like, did you say it's really cute? I don't think this... I don't know what you're talking about, but I didn't think it was cute, Caroline.
Definitely not cute. It's very cool though, in a very good way, because I think it's a way to empower people and create safety, and anything that can create and empower people I think is very
a cool
important
thing. It's a cute thing.
It's a cute thing. We are going to be back in just one moment. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR, and we will be right back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some cool things. I'm not even sure how I said that. I've had a few of those today, haven't I? And this is disturbingly weird, but you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
March 2nd to the 23rd, the 2013 Vancouver International Dance Festival invites you to experience the kinetic simulation of contemporary dance. Delivered to you on stages throughout Vancouver by outstanding dance artists from New Zealand, Denmark, Switzerland, Zimbabwe, Mexico, Malaysia, Korea, Montreal, and Vancouver. Information and tickets are available online at www.vidf.ca. or through our box office at 604-662-4966.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books and Sound, Baru Latino Restaurante, The Bike Kitchen, Cove, Dentry's Pub, Displace Hatchery, Limelight, The Eatery, Fresh is Best Salsa, Gargoyles, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
I will say B, Peru.
I'll do it.
And that's your final answer?
Yes.
You can buy a new car. You just want
$33,055.78.
To everyone who donated to this year's fund drive, CITR would like to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who helped us meet and exceed our goal of $30,000. Your generous donations help us support local artists, businesses, and marginalized voices in the community. Here's to another 75 years of campus and community radio.
And we're back in Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking about with the sexy Brandy Lyso from Karma Face Cosmetics and just about the amazing work that with Karma Face. In case you're not familiar with it, you're going to have to go and check it out. And you just had another wonderful celebration about a store that is where you can get it in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. So now Karma Face Cosmetics is being carried at Corvus Studios, which is just off Main. And it's an amazing space, actually, which they have local artists in there, as well as Brie Wendell is the owner of the space, and she is an amazing hairstylist. You should definitely check it out and check out Karma Face there, too, for sure. It's just off Main, and their website is corvusstudio.ca.
Nice. And on the Karma Face website, if they're not just ordering from you and they want to find out, well, is all the listing of all the places that they can purchase?
That's something I'm going to have to do.
Twitter and Facebook.
Exactly.
We'll just be careful in terms of potential stalkers if you're just listening out there. Sorry, that was not funny. Speaking about the topic, because of the one of the really cool things about Karma Face, in case you have not had an opportunity to try it yet, is the fact that a dollar from each product is going to support the YWCA Canada and the amazing work they do for women who sometimes have to access the shelter system, mm-hmm. and some amazing resources. And one of the cool ones we've been talking about a lot with this show and in terms of exiting strategies for women who have dealt with violence, online dating safety, and safety for women and men is the
Safety Siren from YWCA.
Safety Siren. It's got such
such a sound to that. It's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not automatopoeia. When you have two S's or two consonants together, and I cannot remember what it's called. Listeners, if you're listening out there, please.
Grandma? She's an English teacher? Do you know what that is?
And it's not erotica, obviously. I cannot remember what it's called. Wow.
S and an S.
An S and an S. There's automatopoeia.
We are getting off
the sounds.
Automatopoeia.
It was
Puya?
The
Puya? Yeah. And then there's synonyms and antonyms and similes and
metaphors. No. But it's not that. Okay. Anybody who's calling in for that, please send in details. And you can post it on the Sexy and Van City Facebook page if you want. And
help
maybe
us with our English
just
tonight.
Might raise, get some sort of prize. I'm not sure what it is yet, but we will come up with something. You have to check in after the show. In regards to that, Safety Siren. Safety Siren.
The Safety Siren app from YWCA Canada.
I like it. So in terms of as a sexy woman, and I'm going to take Safety Siren in a completely different way, and YWCA Canada, please forgive me on this one, but in terms of for a woman embracing her sense of sensuality after dealing with violence, and in terms of the healing, I think is really important as well, because I think it takes time to be able to date.
For sure.
Yeah, making sure you get some support. So whether or not it's from an organization like the YWCA Canada that has some amazing resources, BC Women's Hospital, even on campus here, we've got some wonderful stuff. But making sure that you get that support wherever you need to get it. And then from there, having just a really great support system, whether or not it's with certain friends and family, if that's possible. If not, making sure you access just to change in terms of the thought patterns. Even the no love drug, which I am very curious about. How do you go
back? I'm going to have to do some more. I just heard that really recently on my drive, and I'm definitely going to do some more research on that because what an interesting topic and concept.
It's an interesting concept, and I'm curious in regards to just addiction in general because I know, for example, when the methadone is one of the things they use for addiction in the downtown east side was something that was very popular probably in 2000, and it's still being used as well. But one of the things I have heard on an anecdotal, as opposed to, again, I'm not a pharmacist, I am not a doctor for methadone, but one of the things that I have heard anecdotally from some of the women I've worked with in the downtown east side was it was really hard to be on it because of the fact they didn't feel as passionately. And I'm very curious in regards to long-term how the no love drug. Is that right? No love drug?
I think so. Okay. I had a lot of Red Bulls on that ride. And I was listening to talk radio for a really long time. So I don't remember a lot of the details.
I think it's a great concept. Yeah. But I'm very curious in regards to, because I imagine that's going to be a challenge with that in terms of getting somebody to stay on it and how it affects them long term. To be able to balance, because I think it's one of the things sometimes I think people fear in terms of with mental health, in terms of going on an anti-anxiety, even if it's a low-dose medication, because I think sometimes people are afraid that they're not going to feel as passionately.
Yeah, I mean, I am not able to speak from experience on that, but my what I can relate it to is, I mean, even in being in a relationship, you kind of turn off your emotions anyways. Being in a an unsafe relationship, you don't feel passion anymore at all in any space in your life, and you just don't hold space for that because you've turned your emotions off because you've had to learn how to. You don't really feel happy because you know there's many different emotions that are lost, and I think that's something in going back into dating and going back into just the real world and functioning as a normal human being. I think that's probably at least from my experience one of the hardest things to be able to accomplish is to be able to feel like you again, or even have that range of emotions. Feel like it's okay to be happy because you don't have to have the anxiety that there's something negative following that happiness. Mm. And you don't need to be completely docile, because you're allowed to be happy. You're allowed to be sad. And those emotions aren't going to be judged. And they're not going to be followed by something that's out of your control. So to be able to have control over your emotions again is something I think, with or without medication or drugs, is a difficult thing at that. So I don't know how a no love drug would even play into that, knowing mm-hmm. that it's already something that is a sensitive topic when you're creating your exit strategy.
Mm-hmm. But that being said, I'm very curious to see how the research keeps going and
I'll
evolving.
Let you know what I'm gonna look it up some more, and I'll let you know what I find.
I think that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what's next for you, my darling? You've become quite the advocate in regards to violence against women, safety for women, and for men as well. So I think it was fantastic that you brought that up. And that is heartbreaking, that stat about 40% mm-hmm. of domestic violence is against men.
Yeah, something that I was not aware of, actually, until recently. I started doing a lot of this advocacy work because I could directly relate to violence against women, and it's something that I was very passionate about, and that I saw the need for inspiration and advocacy of that I could fill that spot for. But throughout now moving forward with that, I actually didn't learn about that statistic until recently, and the reason why I looked into it was because there was a gentleman that had approached me about being in his first marriage was not at a good one, and I was flabbergasted by that, because I had just never put that in my realm or in my space, because I always thought towards women. And so when I did some further research and asked some resources, I was really shocked to mm-hmm. find that. And yeah. So, I mean, it happens to anybody, whether yes. your gender, whether your race, whether your stature in the community, anything. So, and amongst other issues, at a topic for different genders, they can happen at any space in life, so
mm-hmm.
yeah,
which is a scary thought. So what can we do to protect ourselves and make sure that we can shift, besides some of the key points that we've mentioned tonight, and some of the key ones we've talked about, is having a strong sense of self,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that you've got strong community around you, even if you feel isolated at the time, taking a look and seeing what resources are out there. And being able to have if possible, having a conversation with your partner and strong communication, but that's not always possible.
Mm-hmm.
But checking in with yourself first, having strong boundaries.
And not to ignore red flags when they come up. That's something that, another thing that you also learn to turn off is you're like, oh, you come up with excuses for those little things, you know, and because you just don't want to be a drama queen, or you don't want to, you know, create something out of nothing. And, but sometimes those flags are something, and you need to, again, be very self-aware mm-hmm. and also be able to have somebody who's outside of the situation looking at it from a bird's eye view. That is honest and trustworthy,
yeah.
that you can say, you know, is this, am I just being weird? Or, like, is this actually something that I should be concerned about?
Mm-hmm. No, that's really key, because, I mean, our spidey senses do go off. Mm-hmm. And it's always that fine line where it's a check-in, take a moment to breathe. Is it my own stuff, or is this flight or fight where I really need to get the heck out of here
mm-hmm.
and make sure I protect myself first and foremost? And I'd say, yeah, get the heck out of there, then check in with yourself.
Yeah.
Am I okay? Like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Is it my own stuff where I'm overreacting, or is it? And I think it's hard, because in terms of relationships, I think we want to believe the best in somebody. And going full circle to falling in love right at the beginning, the honeymoon period, both people are on best behavior, because mm-hmm. what we want more than anything, for part of our self-actualization through the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, is for self-actualization, is the fact that we want to be loved. I think mm-hmm. it's a basic human need, is we need to be loved. We want respect. And so sometimes if we have to bend ourselves a little bit, embellish a few things, and especially at the beginning of a relationship, yeah. we do that. So realizing that when you're falling in love with somebody, trying to go in with eyes wide open, mm-hmm. things may not be, and they never are exactly what you expect them to be. Not that everybody goes into it lying. The intention is good, but sometimes I think we excuse red flags because mm-hmm. of the fact we want to believe that that person's good.
Absolutely.
And I think they really probably do want to be good in some ways, but there are behavior patterns that need to be shifted, need to change,
mm-hmm.
because
Absolutely.
It's not healthy for either person.
And speaking of which, of like bringing your own things into stuff, during the commercial when we were talking about like getting back into the dating field
mm-hmm.
then and like, are you bringing your crap with you when you go back into the dating world, and the struggles that there are to even just sometimes have like a physical connection or to have you
the
know
pretty
that
woman syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Or to trust them, or when now you're being too cautious, or you know, all of those situations when now you're bringing your crap into a new relationship. So what advice do you have?
Wow, I think it depends on the situation. I'd say first and foremost, making sure that somebody is getting some support with a qualified counselor, whether that be a psychotherapist. Joseph Eliezer, who I've had on the show a lot, I highly recommend. He's done a lot of work in the downtown east side. He's also an intuitive and a psychotherapist. He's lovely. But there's also some amazing people like Allison Jones, who's over on the North Shore. Make sure that you get some support. And if money is an issue, making sure that you're getting it through UBC, Rhodes College, mm-hmm. just something that you can support, making sure that you're checking in with your own behavior and what are. And not that I want to go into victim blaming, because that's not what this is. Mm-hmm. This is basically, what can I do to take care of myself? And it has to do with boundaries and checking in.
I think that's a huge thing as well,
and
is giving yourself the time to build your self-esteem back up, to build those, to love yourself instead mm-hmm. of jumping into another relationship and looking for somebody to heal you.
Yes.
And to love you, and because it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that time definitely is a big thing.
It really does. And I'm going to paraphrase John Patrick Shanley, who's one of my favorite playwrights, but in his play Woman in Manhattan, he's got a quote in there about one of the characters where she says that, you know, he left me and I feel like I'm not worth 10 cents. Now I can go right out there and go and plug, you know, and go find somebody to fill this hole I feel in myself. Or can I let myself shrink back down to my own natural size?
Mm-hmm.
And it's self-esteem is what it comes right down
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
And I think that's pretty good in any breakup, but especially when it's where there's been a pattern of domestic violence, etc. To make sure when you're going in wise at eyes wide open.
I almost broke into Katy Perry song, Eyes Wide Open.
If it wasn't for the fact that we, that ours is a talk show, I'd probably sing it, but I won't damage poor Katy Perry's ears on that one. So even though it would be femme content, so even if it's not Canadian content and it is very mainstream, but it would be,
Too
it's a great
funny.
Song.
It is.
But I'd say that would be the big thing, the yeah. counseling, just in terms of recognizing, really developing a strong sense of self. But that being said as well, giving an opportunity to date yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
So explore, especially regardless of with breakups. I think it's really important to just see what's out there. And I don't mean go out and have lots of sex or whatever. I mean, if that works for you, that's great. But most importantly is just take time, figure out who you are now. How has the experience changed you? What are the pieces that you need to heal? What are the things you've learned? And how has it made you grow?
Yeah, because you are not the same person anymore. No, not at all. And there's a lot of things to learn about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who said this, but there's a quote that says, love heals all, not time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you can actually genuinely send love to the people who have hurt you or harmed you or
forgiveness.
Love and forgiveness and genuinely, not actually just say that you do, but actually genuinely feel in your gut that you can send them love and forgiveness and towards them in the situation and where they were at in life, that I think at that point then you're ready to start a healing process, and you're ready to get to know yourself and move on and date and have fun.
Mm-hmm. And I think with the overly cautious thing as well, I think that's going to be part of it too in terms of the healing journey, where there will be times perhaps feeling overly cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's human, because I think giving yourself permission to explore a little bit, like what's too tight in terms of boundaries. And I think it's like being a child learning to walk, where it, whenever it's a newer experience, where it's like, okay, what does this feel like now?
Yeah.
Because we evolve every day based on the experiences that happen to us and based on the people we meet and attract in our lives. And with that, because of that, we're not the person we were yesterday.
Yeah, I actually, I went on a date with somebody, and they actually said that they're, I'm the same person as I was a long time ago. I can promise you that I would never change. And my exact thought was yours, and the exact thing that I said was, well, actually, like, I'm a different person every single day, so I don't think that this is... Like I change constantly because of your experiences yesterday. And I mean, you can relate too. Our days are incredibly busy, so busy that there's not a possible way that today didn't change me.
Yeah.
Even just alone thinking of my waking up at 7 a.m. and the things that I did from that process on, I'm not the same person I was when I woke up this morning, that's for sure.
No, we're constantly evolving. And for those of you who do like to believe in happily ever after, which I do, I think everybody knows that who listens to this. I think that's one of the beautiful things. One of the guests I had on the show, who was a retired therapist, she'd been with her husband since she was 12 years old. And she was in her, I believe, late 70s, early 80s at that stage. And as she described it, how she was able to be monogamous in this day and age, where sometimes it's challenging, it's difficult to have those relationships, and especially for such an extended period of time, is because of the fact she evolves, he evolves, and so she's dated many different men where he has evolved into, and she's had to fall in love with them over and over and over again. And sometimes I think that's a really beautiful journey.
Absolutely, yeah. It's really neat.
Thank you for being on the show. And so for those of you out there who would love to check out Karma Face Cosmetics, I'm just going to ask Brandy if you can just plug your website as well, so they can go and check it out. And in Vancouver, there's...
Yeah, please check it out. So our website is karmaface.com, karmaface.com. And you can get it at Corvus Studio in Vancouver, which their website is corvusstudio.ca. And we are doing tons of fun events that we're sponsoring and such across Canada as well. So if anybody happens to be in Edmonton, come check out Western Canada Fashion Week. We're doing a show with Mallory Schmier, and Karma Face is heading the makeup department. So that's actually on Monday. So I don't know if any listeners end up in Edmonton, but come check out our show there too, and I'd love to meet you.
That would be awesome. And if you get a chance to meet the lovely Brandy, she's pretty amazing. So
thank you.
I'm lucky enough to call her my friend. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me so much. Tonight was fun.
And up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very